our bill tracker on federalnewsradio.com, right on the homepage, it's just loaded down with all kinds of legislation that affects your pay and benefits, and it's all detailed for you on the bill tracker. But some of these things could really have a huge impact on the way that you're planning for your future. Tammy Flanagan's a senior benefits director for the National Institute of Transition Planning and here to talk about how some of these things might affect you. Tammy, it's good to talk to you as always.
Hi, Francis. Good to talk to you, too.
Some of these things are pretty significant. I talked with Mike earlier this week about the essentially 5% pay cut, which seems to be the one that most federal employees are worked up about right now. You think that's a fair thing to say?
Oh, I think federal employees are worked up about a lot of the things they're seeing and hearing these days, and that's certainly at the top of the list.
What are the ones that you're paying the most attention to as potentially having impact? When you and I talked about this before, you talked about a balance between the actual impact and the likelihood that that some of these bills could ever get signed. Tell me about the ones that you're paying the most attention to that you think could be the most significant.
Well, the ones that the people at my seminars when I teach a pre-retirement class are always asking about are, you know, the high three to the high five. They're very concerned that their retirements are going to be computed on a longer average salary, which is, of course, going to pull down their retirement benefit. And they're worried about any change that there might be to the health benefit premium as far as the share that the government might pay into that. And also among the things that could affect the COLA, you know, whether it's the basis of the cost of living adjustment for retirees or whether it's a delay of the COLA or no COLA, you know, those are things that are very near and dear to people's hearts who are trying to figure out a way to plan to retire comfortably. And, you know, they're just there, and now they're thinking, you know, that might change, and they may have to delay their plans.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them are thinking they may have to speed up their plans because they're asking, too, like, should I get out now before something changes?
So yeah.
Some of this information coming through the media is really scaring them.
Is what they're hearing and what they're coming up to you and reading you back accurate, or is it like that whisper game that we played in elementary school where you heard it at the beginning, just somebody said something at the beginning and compared it to the last person and they're not the same?
Well, the only thing I think that's inaccurate is some of them think these things have already happened. And I always assure them, I say, you know, these are a long way from becoming law. These are things we have heard many years. In fact, at my seminars, I read a memo, because we didn't have email in 1985, but I read a memo about all the proposed changes, and they were identical to the changes we're hearing proposed for today.
Mm-hmm.
So these are nothing new. We've heard these year after year. I think the big fear this year is with so many problems between the economy, the debt ceiling, the wars, and you know, everything going on in our country that I think some people feel that the time is right, that there might be some changes that actually do happen. But I also assure them that there's so many people out there fighting to keep their benefits whole and that we appreciate the hard work of government employees. So, you know, we won't know probably, I would think, not at least till the end of the summer as far as what might really be on the table for change. Right now, I think it's a lot of talk.
You mentioned the high three to high five, the health care premiums, and issues with the COLA as the things that people are coming to you most concerned about. Do you think they're concerned about the right things, or are there things that they should be thinking about and planning for that maybe are not quite as high profile and aren't getting as much attention?
Well, I always say, you know, only worry about what you can control, and what you can control is what your own plans are to get prepared to retire. You know, make the most of your TSP account, you know, save as much as you can so you are prepared. Always, you know, understand your benefits and know, you know, what to do if you have to react in a quick way. So, you know, get your retirement estimates from your agencies. That's the best thing you can do besides, you know, supporting your employee union groups if they're out there and fighting for this for you.
The whole idea of the high three to high five conversion is the one that I think is the most curious because the difference I saw in Mike's column a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The difference for one – now, this is just one person I know, but I don't think the examples are probably too terribly different as you go and look at different people's situations. One person estimated they would have to work about 6 months longer under a high five scenario to get the same pension that they would under the high three scenario.
Yeah, well, I did a few calculations myself, and you know, depending on the salary rate and how much of a pay change you've had over the last 5 years, that could very well be true. You know, I was doing some calculations just to see how the dollar difference in the monthly benefit would turn out. And for the average CSRS employee, I was seeing up towards $100 a month difference. And for the average FERS employee, around $50 a month. So it is significant.
Well, but it is, yes, especially when you consider the potential full life cycle of mm-hmm. that pension being paid out. But when you break it down, if you think about $50 a month,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's $12.50 a week. That's $12.50 a week. And it's not awful if you're at that point in your life where you're ready to retire. And when we think about $50 a month difference, I'm wondering what the $50 difference is. Like, is it the difference between $200 a month and $250 a month, or is it the difference between $2,200 a month or $2,250 a month? And I guess that probably plays into the decision-making process, too.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, because, you know, we have some employees who have shorter careers and lower salaries where that difference would make a greater dent in their ability to retire comfortably, where we're, you know, a higher salaried employee with 37 years of service, it may not be as significant for them in their financial planning. But, you know, we just hate to go backwards because we had the high five prior to 1970, and we've kept this high three for all these years. But then, as you said, on the other hand, we're grateful for what we have, and, you know, we are far ahead of a lot of people in private industry who don't even have a pension. So I guess we shouldn't act too smug about the fact that we have these wonderful. Even the FERS pension benefit is certainly better than what some people have in the private industry.
One of the reasons I love having you on this show, Tammy, is you've got the glass half full all the time.
Well, I'm always trying to look at the bright side.
I love that attitude. Tammy, have a great weekend. Thanks for being on with
you
me this
too,
afternoon.
Thank you.
It's 425 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You hear Tammy Flanagan on For Your Benefit every Monday morning at 10 o'clock on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And Tammy's the Senior Benefits Director for the National Institute of Transition Planning. You can read more about for the For Your Benefit show at federalnewsradio.com under shows, and you can hear my conversation with Tammy at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.